Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day, gentlemen. If you were around here a few minutes earlier this morning, you know that the 3 inches of rain we got last night came in to the other side. So Phil and Tim are finishing up. Which, by the way, Cheryl, don't let Phil tell you he doesn't know how to run the carpet cleaner. He's got it figured out now. By the way, it works a lot better when it's on the floor, not on tool. He did one whole room and was like, this thing ain't putting up hardly anything. And then he put it over on, figured it out, put it on floor. 60 seconds later, it was full. So, but praise God. Hey, you know what? We're not going to whine about it. We're not going to worry about it. Ain't nothing but a thing. And we just deal with it, right? So many people, well, boo-hoo-hoo-hoo, this. So what? You know what? My trust is in God that no matter what's coming our way, no matter what the weather brings, no matter what the world brings, we're not going to be moved. So, but which means there will be no junior church this morning or nursery. And it also means I'll be adapting and improvising, adapting and overcoming and changing the message to a pretty much strictly a Father's Day message so that all out here can get hold of it, and then we will probably be dismissed a little bit early this morning based on that. But, you know, I just want to say, you know, I told the guys over here this morning, or Rob wasn't in there, but, you know, I didn't have to ask anybody to do that. Do you know how many places you'd have to go and beg people to do something that's not their job? I mean, I remember days in the Marine Corps. That's not my job. And the only time I tore into another NCO was over something like that. That's not my job. That's a non-rate job. And I gave him a language lesson and a threat. No, it wasn't a threat. It was a promise. I didn't make threats. I made promise. I promised to kick him off the hill in a few colorful words, but he got the point. And but anyhow, I didn't have to ask anybody to do that. And you know what that tells me? It tells me that this is a family. We do what has to be done because it has to be done, not because, well, that's not my job. You know, yeah, it's only so. Rob asked, "Do we got another squeegee? It'd be great to have another squeegee." Well, we had one, man. I don't know where on earth it is, but brooms work, so we got all that water out there, and I know what he's talking about. I've tried to do it by myself before, and that water wants to go this way. It wants to run over here, and it seems like there's a valley right through the middle of the floor that it likes to lay in. And but anyhow, but God is good. Amen. Amen. I'm going to bless the tithe and offering. And do we want to do the Father's Day thing right now? Yeah, Rob, if you'd go get the other guys, they should be finishing up. They were redoing the nursery floor again. Tim had already vacuumed it, I think, two or three times with the shop vac, and Phil was able to go over with the carpet cleaner and get more. So there's a lot of water. It was nearly 3 inches. So that's quite a bit. But anyhow, so let's bless the tithe and offering. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your mighty, mighty love towards us, for your mercy. Father, we pray right now for those who are having problems because of water. Lord, we pray that you help them through it to overcome whatever got flooded out, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that even in the stuff that we got wet, there was minimal damage. So, Father, we thank you and praise you for that. And now, Lord, we thank you for the tithe and offering. I bless it, Father, in Jesus' name. All right, you may be seated for a few minutes. Pat's going to take that for me. I'm going to undo my... I can hand them out. You know, a few years ago, we decided to quit just giving out those little chintzy gifts. I got a couple of them in my barn the little flashlight you got to keep doing like this in order to see. And about 30 seconds in, you get a hand cramp. And then you can't see where you're at, but it's too late. And we decided to start putting that money because I don't know if you, how to put it this way. Whenever I see somebody, a ministry on TV particularly, or a nonprofit, if you will donate, we will send you this. Here's my thing. Save your money. Don't send me a gift. I don't want it. Keep the money and put it towards your project. If you give $1,500, we'll give you this wonderful crystal. I don't want your crystal. Keep it. Put it towards the gospel of Jesus Christ and what you were reaching out to do. So that is, because of that, is why, you know, besides the chintzy gifts and the fact that that's my heart, and I've seen enough people shaking their heads, amen, that's your heart as well. So what we've done this year, you know, we've done some things. We did some things for Mother's Day. And this year, we've given, for the men, we've given a donation to the Navigators. Now, what the Navigators are is it started at around World War II. A young man working on the docks in L.A. started ministering to a sailor who was there, who in turn started discipleship on the ship and started leading people to Christ one-on-one. Mass salvation, things are great. But let me tell you something, folks. One-on-one, you actually get a contact with somebody. And you hold more people when it's more personal. Okay? Not saying that people that got saved during Billy Graham Crusades didn't get saved. I'm just saying our job is to hold on to people. We can keep sending missionaries out by the thousands and getting millions saved. But if we don't keep them saved, don't get them into churches, don't disciple them, don't show them God's love, the Bible says their end is worse than their beginning. So I think we need to do something more one-on-one. And that's what the Navigators do. Now the Navigators, they have missionaries all around the world in this flyer, this letter that you will receive, gentlemen, is it talks a little bit about it. They go into places, they can't tell you that they're there. Now, before you go say, well, there's no place on the planet like this. Just so you, they have to go in under the guise of something else, whether they're on business. And to tell you how tricky it really is, when I went to Ukraine and signed in at the desk, I was there with a publishing company. Reverend showed up nowhere. Nowhere did it say I was going to church. I was there under a publishing company that our interpreter, our guide, who worked for Bob Montgomery, had created this thing just for the point so that Bob could come into that country and preach the gospel. And I was there too on his. So it was like, okay, I really don't want to spend any time in Siberia, man. I think I could escape, but the truth of the matter is, even now, even though communism had fallen in Ukraine, they still have to put in a different name for the business or something. They can't go in as a church. And so these people have to do this. Now, just so you're not getting concerned about, well so many people, if I'm going to help anybody, it's going to be in America. Guess what? They've got missionaries set up in cities all over this country. One of them happens to be Detroit. And if you ain't ever been to Detroit, it's one of my least favorite cities, next to Lima and Toledo. But they're all in that same group. They all have the same problems. And they have people that go up in there, and they are discipling families in neighborhoods that are, if you haven't seen pictures on TV of what Detroit is now, you are sadly mistaken if you think Detroit is the car capital of the world and prosperity is there, because it's anything but that. And they're sending missionaries up there to go up and build lives with people. And so that's what we gave to this year. So we sent $300 to help them do that. Now, they do this great thing at Christmas. They send out these wonderful cards, and you can buy them. I don't remember what they are now, but they always send us a small sample of them to the church, and they're beautiful cards. And they talk about, you know, how many of you have gone to the stores and you're like, man, I just want to find a card that talks about the real reason for Christmas. It ain't got Santa on it. It ain't got a snowman. It talks about Jesus. Well, that's what they do. It's one of their fundraisers that they do. So if you're Christmas time, you're like, and I don't think they're super cheap, but then again, neither are Christmas cards. So unless you buy them on clearance after Christmas, and then you're stuck with the snowman and the ugly ones. That's what I call them. Like, man, I want the pretty one. So all the fathers, I want all the fathers, stand up and come forward. And that would include Matt and Josh. Come on, man. Well, Pat, nobody wants to stand next to you, man.
He said he's all sweaty. I thought, I don't want to stand either. You stay down there.
I tell you what a good-looking group of guys. Good-looking group. I want you to know that there's one thing you have that mothers don't. You have a father's heart. Now, whether or not you were raised with a father who understood God or a father who lived by godly principles, that's immaterial. Because now you have the heart of the Almighty. As, you know what, honey, would you hand them out? Yes. My fingers just cannot separate them. I'm like, but what this means is your heart is towards your children. You know, I know Matt and Josh, I know you don't have a child yet. Well, we prayed over your wives. You will. That's all there is to this. But when any father standing up here will tell you, there comes a time your wants, your desires, your life has to go on pause for the sake of your children. It's not saying that your children's lives are going to rule yours. It's saying sometimes the things you wanted to do aren't what you get to do. Sometimes you have to do what's good for your children. She wanted her daddy. And I'm going to, as I said earlier, I'm going to teach a little bit today on fathers and the heart of the father. She really wants her daddy. I think I'd say, and Pastor, would you please pray for my daddy so I can go to him? So I'm going to bless you, gentlemen. And I want you to understand, being a father is a privilege. You know, Gloria said something today. She said, Happy Father's Day, Pastor. And I said, thank you. And she said, you know, I guess I'm technically a father and a mother. I did both. Well, I said, you're a dad. Anybody can be a father, right? All you got, you just got to have the plumbing working. But what you do when you're raising your kid is you become a dad. The Bible calls it Abba. It's a closer relationship. It means, you know, Pat, I know you raised children that weren't yours. And they love you like their father. And so it's a different thing. Being a father is a genetic thing, but being a daddy, that's something else. And I want you to remember that. That you got to be Abba. Abba Father. You're the father, but you got to be the daddy. You got to know when to be hard and when to back off. That's where the Bible talks to us fathers, and it says, and fathers, do not push your children to anger. It's not saying you don't push your children to be better. It's you got to know when to back off. There's a breaking point. I watched MASH yesterday, MASH Marathon. I didn't do squat yesterday. And there's one incident, many of you have probably seen it, where a guy B-29 gets shot down, and they ask him what his name is, and he says he's Jesus Christ. So much. You can handle so much, and then you crack. Even the strongest crack. Always remember that. Some of you are new fathers, soon to be fathers, still raising your children, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. Nonetheless, your children, your grandchildren will look up to you as an example. So always remember that. I didn't get to know my real grandfathers. And a few of the things I've learned about them, maybe it was better that I can hold them here because I didn't know about that. But in the end, I look, just so you know, I've been told my grandfather did that, and I didn't know it. Traits come through the genes. So there's traits you have that you're bringing from your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather. You didn't even know that they did that. And because the so far back, we probably will never know people that knew them. So I'm going to bless you this morning. And as we go out of here today, let's remember we're fathers. And sometimes that means we even have to be kind to a child that's not ours, just for the sake of they don't know. I've pointed out time and time again, World War II killed, you know, it was 450,000? In 4 years, this country lost over 100,000 fathers a year. World War II, then we had Korea, then we had Vietnam, it was 58,000 and some change. Fortunately, it went down, but unfortunately, we killed a lot of our fathers. Children who never knew their fathers. Children who were raised by a guy who didn't love their steps. So remember that. Sometimes you need to be the kind person that child needs to see. Sometimes you need to be somebody that stands up for them because theirs can't. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for these men, these fathers. Lord, I thank you to be a father. Lord, I pray now that you help us all. Help every last one of us, Father, to become more like you. To stand, to run, to do what needs to be done. Father, I thank you for these men. Lord, I bless them all right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you put within them your heart. Rise up within them as a man of war. Lord, rise up within them as a father who ran to his child, even though the child was wrong. Lord, I thank you that you're doing it right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray for those that are battling things of the past, Lord. The blood of Christ has conquered all of that. In the name of Jesus, amen. All righty, gentlemen, be blessed. Pat's got the offering, Rob. Like I said, I'm just going to talk real quick here, and then we'll go. But, you know, I alluded to the story of the prodigal son. That's what we call it. And I don't know that it should be focused on the son. I think it should be focused on the father. That you'll find that in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse about 11. We read that story. We read a story of a man who had two sons, and the youngest one came to him and said, "Father, give me what is my portion of the inheritance." Now, that was legal, and the father did it. But that meant that everything from that point on belonged to his other son. And this son went out, went to another country, and he lived La Vida Loca. He went crazy living. Girls, parties, drugs, alcohol, you name it, he was there. Till one day, he came to the revelation, just as many of us did who lived, tried to live that style, You're everybody's best friend until you quit buying. When you ain't got no money, you ain't got friends. Anybody else discover that? When you quit buying for them, oh, they ain't your friend. And so he ended up working for somebody he didn't want to. Most menial job that a Jew could have, feeding pigs. He finally got so hungry and so fed up with it that he was looking at the slop. Now you need to understand, our pigs today in these farms, they eat high on the hog, so to speak. They eat corn. It is highly monitored. You have no idea how strict things are. I know Clint's worked on a hog farm, and anybody else worked on one? Okay, Ted. I've done construction work on them while they were active, and I'll tell you right now, to go in and paint a room, not with the hogs, in the office, I had to shower in, put on their nasty, they were clean, but they were nasty. They don't soften the water. They don't do nothing with it. It is nasty. Put their clothes on, walk around in there in clothes that don't fit me and paint their walls, and then I had to shower back out. The last commercial barn that I helped build, you stepped the driver, you had to walk into a room, sit down, take your boots off, spin around, put on their boots, walk about 30 feet, step into sanitizer in the office, and then if you went any further, you had to bathe. Our hogs have a whole different world today. But back in this time, hogs ate everything. Meat, bones. By the way, hogs will eat meat. They are cannibals as well. But they ate everything. And this, you need to understand, this is why God was telling the children of Israel, don't eat pigs. They really are nasty. They will eat the rottenest filth, and they lay in their filth. And that comes through. So this guy's sitting here easy, looking at the slop. And he was tempted to eat it. Now, I've only been tempted one time to eat somebody's food that they picked, and I actually did. They were throwing it out to my dog. We had this little southern woman. She was, she might have been this tall. I don't even know her real name. It was Little Mama. That's what her grandchildren called her, Little Mama. And she lived in the front of the house that we rented the apartment on the back. And our job was to look out for her. And she got caught up with my dog one day feeding her biscuits. Bunny was a beagle, and she had wrapped that cable all around this 85-year-old woman's legs. I mean, her legs weren't but about that big around anyhow. And just about brought her down. I got Bunny free. And so I said, tell you what, you put the biscuits on the dryer, and I'll give them to the dog, okay? Man, I was out there one day, and I'm like, wait a minute, she just baked them biscuits yesterday. I don't know about y'all, but biscuits are good until they start growing mold, if they're good biscuits. So I just started giving Bunny the other slop, and I kept the biscuits for me because that woman knew how to make biscuits. I mean, they may have had a pound of lard in each thing. They were good. So that's the only time I've been tempted to eat the slop. But this boy was so hungry, he was going to eat the slop. He came to himself, he shook himself, and he says, wait a minute, my father's servants eat better than this. I need to go home and tell my father I have sinned and ask him for a job. He came to a point he was humbling himself, and he said, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son because of what I did. So he leaves the pig swan or the pig wallow. Starts heading back. And the Bible says that when the boy was yet a far way away, the father saw him and ran to him. Folks, you need to understand, this father had been on the lookout for his boy the whole time. He would probably go up in the morning or in the evening, and he would stand up there and he'd watch. And he would look out across, because they could do that. They had their homes had balconies on them, patios on the top. And he looked for his son. But when he saw him, here's what gets me the most, was the father ran. Pride teaches us, father, you don't run. You make your kid come back crawling and scraping and begging. That's not the true heart of a father.
That's pride and arrogance. These are things that our Heavenly Father despises. He said he went and ran and he hugged him and he kissed him, and you got to imagine the stench that that boy had to smell like. It took 2 years after working on a hog farm for my tools to quit stinking. And they didn't get in personal. That was just what was in the air that had gotten into my circular saw and my hammers and my belt and all that stuff. It stunk for 2 years. And that didn't stop this father, this Jewish father. He shouldn't have been hugging his son. His son had dishonored him after all, hadn't he? That's what we'd say. His son had been with pigs. You didn't touch somebody who'd been with pigs. They had to clean. Then they had to be, according to law, they had to be totally cleansed and then pronounced clean. I can promise you, he probably didn't have time to take a bath. Even if he had been walking along the Jordan River. If you understand the Jordan River at the time, and even probably now, wasn't the cleanest of creeks. It was kind of like the Whetstone Creek. Okay? It had its moments. It had its deep spots that Jesus and John could baptize in. But there's a reason that Naaman from Persia, when he was told to go take a dip 7 times in the Jordan River, that he's like, I don't want to dip in that thing. It's nasty. It wasn't deep, and so the water wasn't always as the clean as it should be. So he didn't possibly have that option. But his father loved him anyhow and ran to him. And it says he kissed him. The boy's got pig poo between his toes. And that heavenly father that we're seeing the example of ran to him and kissed him. He told his servants, bring a robe, bring a ring, go kill the fatted calf. You need to understand what a fatted calf is. A couple of years ago, Bob and Karen decided to do a project. They called him Gabriel. He was a steer. Was he 3 years old, finally, at the end? They just fed him for 3 years. This thing was huge. He was just shy of 3,000 pounds, wasn't he? So he was just shy of 3,000? Just shy of 3,000. That's a fatted calf. If you consider most cows that go to market are about 1,000 pounds lighter than that. Yeah, if not even more. He was big. This is what they held the fatted calf for, was a celebration. Now, when you kill a calf like that that's been fatted up to be eaten, it's not just for you. My four and no more. This was a major celebration. They called a party in that night. For those of you going through graduation party planning, somebody had to do it that night. They didn't have months and weeks to prepare. They had to jump through it right then, right there. Somebody had to kill the calf, skin the calf, clean the calf, get the fire pit dug, get everything ready to do this. But the father ordered a celebration that his son, who was lost, was now come home. See, the heart of a father should never be to hurt our children. It should be to love them through everything. Because fathers, men, we remember, don't we? We remember what it was like trying to grow up. I think they say that the male brain actually does not mature until about 25. Having been 25, I can tell you, that's probably right. Maybe that's why insurance companies finally give you a break at 25 if you're male. But we remember what it was like. I'm 18. I'm a boy and I'm a man. We need, as fathers, to be examples of Christ to our children. Well, how do I be an example of Christ? You just told the story of the Heavenly Father. Well, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Whatever the Father does, I do. So therefore, he's saying, That's how you act. As I said before, some of you may not know, may not have had a father that was like that. I know I look back and think, I could have done something a little different than that. I could have handled that a little better. Well, you know what? We can't keep running. Our sins will chase us until we are exhausted. And that's where we have to put them, is under the blood of Christ. And to my sons, I'm sorry. But I'm not going to live back there anymore. We can't live as fathers. We cannot live with the sins of our fathers. Because that's what happened. I've told you before, and I was going to get into it this week. But whenever you judge somebody, fathers, I'm speaking to you. If you've ever judged your father about something, I'm going to promise you, you did it. You acted like Balaam's donkey. I'll keep it clean. That's exactly what you did. Because you judged your father. Who judged his father? Who judged his father? And so what? You repeat it. The things, the very condemnation. Remember, Jesus said, however you judge is what you'll be dealt with. It's what you're going to be handed. I found areas where I judged my father. And I'm like, holy moly. That was stupid. And my father judged his father. And so forth and so on. I'm never going to do that. Any of you men ever said that? I'm never going to do that. Women too. Yeah, you did. You know you did. I'm going to raise my baby different. Yeah, we've all said it. And we look back and it's like, oh man, I did it, didn't I? It's because it's what you knew. You didn't listen to your heavenly father. You listened to the genes running through your blood. My grandfather on my mom's side, never knew him. I only have 3 memories of him. Last one, I was 16. It was probably months before he died. He thought I was my little sister, who was this tall. I was the height I am now. Was looking him in the eye. His oldest grandson, grandchild. Didn't know me. But because my sister looked like me, he thought that was me. I figured the pigtails would have gave it away. Evidently not. But he did something that my sons hate. That I do. And I never did it to be mean. I don't know why I did it. When we'd wrestle, and we called it playing rah-rah. And they'd jump on me on the floor, and then I'd get them wrapped up, and I'd ball them up and hold them like that. I can't breathe, Dad. If you can talk, you can breathe. To my sons, be advised. Don't judge me. You will do it. Because my grandfather did the same thing. I didn't know that until 2 years ago. That he would just squeeze. Oh, by the way, did I mention his father died when he was little? Don't know about the man who raised him. But I do know that my real great-grandfather passed away when he was a little boy. So who knows? My grandfather was a raging alcoholic. That's what killed him. But I don't want to repeat those. I swore when I grew up that I wasn't going to drink. Yep, muffed that. And they were the reason why. Fortunately, I didn't act like them. Because fortunately, God had his hand on me. He just let me get just stupid enough
I could break my foot or get knocked out playing football. But I'll tell you right now, folks, I want to be like the Father there. He stopped the boy when he said, "Father, I have sinned and I'm no longer worthy." He stopped him. We need to repent. We have to repent when we cross those lines. Otherwise, the bridge is not repaired. But he stopped him. And that's when he ordered the family crest to be put back upon his finger. He ordered clean clothes for his son to wear. Sandals to be put upon his feet. And he ordered the best meal that boy. That boy probably ate until he was sick that night. Which wouldn't take long if you've been starving. That's what a father does. You got to understand how embarrassing this would have been for that Jewish father. That he gave his son his portion and he went and squandered it. But he took him back. We sing that song, "You're a good, good father." That's because of what we read in Luke. I'm reminded of the old, I guess it's a hymn, because the version I'm hearing in my head is Elvis singing it, is "Who Am I?" Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I? David asked that. Who am I, Lord? Who is man that you are mindful of him? Who are we? That should have been our first clue when he sent Jesus. We mean the world. We mean everything to him. Jesus told us, he said, look at the sparrows. Look at the birds. Not one of them falls that your heavenly Father doesn't know. He knows the hairs on your head. For some of us, as I was looking at pictures, that's getting easier to count. I got a joke about it, right? I looked at that video of me playing with Carter. I'm like, okay, stop. Just stop. Oh, well. It goes, it goes. Like I said, like my grandfather before me, and his father, and his father, and my father. Well, Pastor, you don't sound like you're talking in faith. You know what? I really don't care. I come to realize it's just hair. I do wish my eyebrows would stay, though. Every time I look at pictures, I'm like, where are my eyebrows? I'm starting to look like Whoopi Goldberg. I got no eyebrows, except for those really long ones that reach out and look like antenna. Tattoos, yeah. I know some people that did that. I better stop because now I'm picturing the guy from Police Academy. And they drew. But praise God, we have example of our Heavenly Father. So fathers, today, remember, it's not over. Keep trucking. Keep doing what you got to do. Be a godly example. Well, that's not my son. That father never disowned. That was one thing that always ticked me off in movies. I don't know that I've actually ever heard it said. I heard people threaten it. They're no son of mine. They're no daughter of mine. I tell you what, come here, let me smack you upside the head with my Bible. Because that's what I want to hit him with. I don't want to hit him with my fist. I want to literally hit him with my Bible, and hopefully it'll jar their brain to the other side of their head. Because I don't care what they do. They're my children. They are the way they are because of me.
good and bad. But there's good. I've come to realize, you know, my boys, I hope they realize that I was tough on certain things for a reason. And I let them go in other things for a reason. But I want my children to succeed in all that they do. Yeah, my dad just didn't care. Well, you know, maybe he cared more than you thought. You know, that generation was taught you don't say anything. You don't express. Hogwash. That's all it is. Religion brought pride. Religion's what taught that. You know that? Don't hug your children. You might molest them. I still want to find that person. I'm going to put my Bible down for that one. Religion teaches stupidity. We're not about religion. We're about relationship. All right, let's stand. Because I'm sure that little room back there is getting warm. There's three or four little ones back there and a couple adults. But today I hope you enjoy your day, gentlemen. Ladies who've had to raise their children, our hats are off to you. We know it wasn't easy. Because sharing the load isn't easy. But remember this, you have a Heavenly Father who knows you, who's been with you. He's never left you one time. When he told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That goes for us. I'll never leave you. Now, to leave you on a happy note, I heard a ventriloquist the other day with his dummy. He was doing impersonations. And the first one was Bill Clinton, but then he said, "No, okay, try to guess who this one is. I'll be back." The dummy looks at him and says, "Jesus Christ." By the way, that was on America's Got Talent. That was better than some of the other freaky stuff they've done. Anybody watch that this week? You'll have to watch it if you don't know what I'm talking about. Or don't, yeah. They got to get paid well to go on that show. All right, let's pray. I'll bless you. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you. Lord, that in spite of what the world is doing right now, you are still on your throne. You are still in control, Lord God. We put our trust in you completely. Father, we don't trust in the weather. We don't trust in the government. We don't put our trust in man, but we put our trust fully in you. So, Father, I thank you right now that you're moving in the lives of each and every one of these men. Father, those who are filling the roles of grandfather now, and as well as great-grandfather and father, Lord, I thank you and praise you. You're giving them wisdom, strength, and courage to continue in their quest. Now, Lord God, I thank you for all these men. I thank you, Lord, for those that aren't fathers yet, but their hearts are getting there. Their hearts are there. Lord, I thank you and praise you that you are preparing them. Lord, that inside of them, you're building such a love, not only for the baby, but for the baby's mama. So, Lord, I thank you that you're strengthening those relationships. Because, Father, I can attest to this. Babies change everything. So, Lord, I thank you and praise you now that you're moving in the lives of your people. I thank you for these people, Lord God. I bless them, Father, as they go about this week. Lord God, move in their lives. Create opportunities, Father, for them to express your love to other people. Whether it just be a random act of kindness, Father, or just doing something for somebody else. Lord, I thank you and praise you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.